October 15, 1933. Divine Mastery in Art. The Little Paradise of God. Labyrinth of Love. Generative Virtue of the Fiat. God at the Mercy of the Creature. My abandonment in the Fiat continues. I feel its omnipotent breath that, blowing on me, wants to make its life in me grow, enlarge. It wants to fill me so much, as to not let my human being remain, except only as the veil that covers it. So I thought to myself, but what becomes of this holy volition that has so much interest of forming its life in the creature, that it moves heaven and earth in order to obtain its intent? And what difference is there between the divine will as life, and the divine will as effect? And my always lovable Jesus, clasping me in his arms, with an unspeakable goodness told me, my blessed daughter, there is nothing more beautiful, more welcome, and that pleases and glorifies us more, than to form the life of our divine volition in the creature. In her is formed a little paradise where our supreme being delights to descend in order to make his sojourn. Do you see, instead of one paradise we have two, in which we find our harmonies, the beauty that enraptures us, the pure joys that double our happiness, because of having formed an additional life of ours in the little circle of the creature. In this paradise, for however little, for as much as the creature can be capable of, we find everything. Everything is ours. Rather, we find the littleness that enamors us more, and we contemplate our divine art, that in the little, by the virtue of our power, we have enclosed the great. We can say that by our labyrinth of love we have transmuted things, the great in the little, and the little in the great. Without a divine prodigy of ours, we could not form either our life or our paradise in the creature. And does it seem little to you to have one more life of ours, and a doubled paradise at our disposal, in order to make us all the more happy? You must know that neither the sky, nor the sun, nor all creation, cost us so much. Nor have we placed either so much mastery of art, or so much love, as we place in forming our life all of our will in the creature, in order to form for ourselves one more paradise to patronize at our leisure and enjoy our delights. The sky, the sun, the sea, the wind, and everything, narrates he who has created them. They point to us, they make us known, they glorify us, but they do not give us one life of ours, nor do they form one other paradise of ours for us. Rather, they serve her or him in whom our paternal goodness has taken the commitment of forming our life. And she costs us so much, that our fiat uses its operating and repeating virtue of its continuous fiat over its fortunate creature in order to overshadow her with its power, in a way that one fiat does not wait for another, in a way that if it breathes on her, it says to her, fiat. If it touches her, it repeats, fiat. If it embraces her, it uses its operating fiat and goes molding her and is kneading in its divine life. One can say that with its breath it forms its life in the creature, and with its creative virtue it regenerates her and forms its little paradise there. And what do we not find in it? 5. It is enough to tell you that we find everything we want, and this is everything for us. See, therefore, the great difference that there is between the divine will as life, and that as effect. As life all the goods, the virtues, the prayer, the love, the sanctity, convert as nature into the creature. They are springs that form in her that always rise in a way that she feels in herself the nature of love, of patience, of sanctity, as she naturally feels the mind that thinks, the eye that sees, the mouth that speaks. There's no effort in this, because God has given them as nature, and she feels owner to make use of them as she wants. So, by possessing the divine will as life, everything is holy, everything is sacred, the hardships end, the inclinations to evil do not exist anymore, and even though she changes action and now she does one thing, and now another, the unitive virtue of my will unites them together and they form one single act, with the distinction of so many various beauties for however many acts she has done, And she arrives at feeling that her God is all hers, even to feeling that in the excess of his love he has given himself to the mercy of the creature in virtue of the divine will that she possesses as life. She feels him as a birth of her. She raises him with such finesse of love and of profound adoration that she remains as naturally absorbed in her Creator, who is already all hers. And so much is the fullness of love, the happiness that she feels, that not being able to contain it, she would want to give the divine will as life to everyone in order to render everyone happy and holy. Not so for one who does not possess it as life, but only as virtue or effect. Everything is hardship, and she feels the good according to time and circumstances. The circumstance ceases, and she feels the void of good, and this void produces inconstancy, variety of character, tiredness. She feels the unhappiness of the human volition. She neither enjoys peace, nor does she know how to give peace to anyone. She feels the good in herself as if it were a dislocated or partly detached member that she is not owner to use, and she must be subject to others in order to make use of it. Not living of my will is to make oneself enslaved, and to feel all the weight of the slavery. Fiat.